Breaking news out of the NFL. Yannick Ngakoue traded out
don't
of
think you said that right at
Minnesota.
all.
Oh, man.
I really don't know how to say his name. Yannick Ngakoue? Is that how you say it?
Yannick.
It's the same thing. It's the same
You're a
thing.
huge
But
Yannick
get the
guy.
asshole out of Minnesota. Riz, what are you feeling? How you
No,
feeling?
Yannick
What's going on in
Ngakoue can go
Minnesota?
fuck himself. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, it was a good run with Yannick Ngakoue in Minnesota. No, I'm kidding. Once again, it's a joke. It's a joke. You know who really can go fuck themselves is Rick Spielman, our GM of the Vikings. I'm
Why
done
is
with
Rick
him.
gonna go fuck himself?
I'm done with him. I think he was a good GM. He was a really good GM, lasted a long time, but I think, you know, sometimes when guys are just in a spot for too long doing the same thing and their team's not, you know, winning the Super Bowl like they planned, then he starts doing starts getting a little wild, you know. And with the Kirk Cousins extension and with the Yannick Ngakoue trade, they traded a second and a fifth for him, and now just not, you know, what, how many weeks in? Not even seven. We're getting a third and a fifth back. It's just not smart. I think he could have been a part of the future. I didn't think he got enough back. I think if you waited a week, I could be wrong on this, but I think if you waited a week, you may have gotten a better offer. You know, the Ravens were, I think the Ravens are desperate for edge rush. I think they're pretty desperate, and they got a really good one. I mean, I broke it down. I gave grades in the trade video earlier today, but obviously the Ravens got a very good grade in the Vikings got a very bad grade, but yeah, it's a good deal for the Ravens. They were desperate for edge rush because they rely on the blitz too much. It doesn't really work when you're playing a guy like Patrick Mahomes, or when you're playing the Titans. It doesn't really work too well. So they got to get prepared for being a contender, and they needed a good edge rusher, and they found a good edge rusher for less than his value. So I think the Vikings like felt like desperate to get rid of him, and that's what I don't understand. I just don't understand.
So that's what I don't understand either. I felt like the Vikings just they put out the white flag and they're giving up on the season when they really shouldn't because they've only had one conference game. They played the Packers and it was a close game, and you still have two more games against the Lions and the Bears to play. I don't think the Vikings are out of it. I mean, the Bears could just easily just blow up like any time now. Like Vikings can still make that seventh spot. Maybe because it was Danielle Hunter's out for the season now, right?
Yeah, but yeah, it's kind of weird how that just came at the same time. I don't think they had a shot. I mean, you could say it's more than 0%, but I just you look at the rest of the schedule and they're not playing good. They're not good enough at the. I mean, their offense can be explosive, but they're not good enough at the quarterback position. This offensive line is. I mean, it feels like every year we're saying this is the worst Vikings offensive line of all time. This one might. The interior is. I'll say that for a fact. The interior. This is the worst I've ever seen the Vikings interior offensive line by far. And I think it's at the bottom of the league with the Bengals. So and then defensively they can't cover on the perimeter. They can't stop the run because the Michael Pierce is in there. No, I mean they're not going anywhere. So I would understand this. I don't know. It's such a yeah. It's just so
What
weird.
if, have you seen the movie Major League?
Yeah.
What if coach just comes out with a half naked picture of Spielman's wife and like has sticky notes on it, and every time the Vikings win start taking sticky notes. Do you think that'll kind of motivate him a little bit more?
Yeah, I don't think Spielman will be down for that, but
No, it's not a Spielman thing. This is like the players have already realized the GM's given up on the year. So this is a go fuck yourself, Spielman. We got your wife in a bikini with sticky notes. What are your
I
thoughts?
mean, I like where your
I'll
head's
hang up and
at.
listen.
It sounds fantastic.
Yeah.
But
What a damn thought.
I don't know if this says that the GM, Rick Spielman in this case, is giving up on the season. I don't know if it says this. I don't know. It could. But it also could say they learned a bit about Yannick Ngakoue, and I thought he was getting better, but and they decided that they probably won't extend him in the off season. So you might as well get something out of nothing. If you hung on to him and lost him in free agency, they would have got a third round pick for him. So they got a third and a fifth. So that's probably what their thinking was, but I feel like they could have got a little more if they waited. And I think he could have been part of the re if there is a rebuild. I don't really think there's like a, I don't know. When I think rebuild, I kind of put it in the stages. Like the Jaguars are kind of going to that stage one of the rebuild. They got an insane amount of picks. They need everything. They pretty much need everything. Like if the Vikings were to go rebuild, it wouldn't be like stage one. You know, they still got Dalvin Cook. They still got Adam Thielen, Justin Jefferson. And I think Rick Spielman actually said that today, that we somebody asked him, are you going in rebuild mode? And he started rattling off like the talented players he has. He's like, I don't really consider that rebuild if you have those players. So I don't really know. I think people are automatically assuming this tells us they're tanking, and I'm going to disagree. I think this just tells us they had no plans of signing him in the offseason. They were very confident that he wasn't going to be anything great, which it's pretty sad that we didn't get the chance to see him and Daniel Hunter play together. I thought that would have been great. But, yeah, so it doesn't necessarily tell us they're tanking or giving up. But
how many draft picks do you guys have going into next season? I feel like the Vikings are known to be a team that always has a lot of draft picks.
They had the record.
So you got two more on this one.
We got two. Well, we lost two, though. We lost two for Ngakoue, and then we gained two. So we're kind of back to where we started, I believe, there.
Okay.
And I think we have an extra fourth, I actually think, from the Bears. I think we have one or two extra in the mid-rounds. I'm not really sure. But we got the first. We don't have a second because Ngakoue trade. And to make it even worse, like, our pick looks pretty good right now, so that would have been an early second, but instead of that, we get the Ravens third. So we went from early second to late third. Pretty brutal.
So in my mind,
what news came out first between Hunter and him?
Ngakoue. Oh. I think we kind of knew that was going to happen for Hunter. I kind of had a feeling he wasn't going to play anyways, but I don't know.
Because now that I think about it too, like there's some like offensive linemen. You said interior offensive linemen's a problem. There's some on the they could have fixed something about this season. Their offensive line is the result of Kirk Cousins being so garby. Like who was just recently on the trading block that was a guard?
Trading block? You know, there's really never guards that are on the trading block. I mean, Quentin Spain was just released. I don't know if they want to pick him up.
But
they had Josh Klein last year, which he wasn't good, but he's way better than what they got, and they cut him to save like $1 million or two, like $1.5 million or something, or maybe it was more than that, but a couple million. But he's available still. They probably can get him cheaper than what they had him last year. But so I don't really know what their plan is.
Who's counting those carbs right now? Kyle Long.
Yeah.
Just throwing it out there. He's counting carbs right now. Throwing it out there.
I think they have too much trust, and they're usually overconfident. That's why this Ngakoue trade was odd. They're usually an overconfident bunch in Minnesota. Like, they think everyone's going to be, you know, a lot better in no time, and Cousins is going to turn it around. And yeah,
what's the move that if they do, they've pretty much thrown the towel in on the season, benching Kirk? That the one, like, if there's one move they can do that you're just like, okay, yeah, they're tanking.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see that happening at all, but if they did that, then that would tell me they're tanking. If they decided that we're going to hold Dalvin Cook out for the whole year, then I'm going to think that as well, but I just don't see them doing that. I don't think they're going to tank. I don't think the Ngakoue move was to tank. I think they decided that they weren't going to extend him, and we might as well get something out of nothing.
You think they tried to negotiate with him and they just realized how difficult it was going to be?
No, I don't think they.
He's probably asking for crazy money.
I think the Vikings thought that their window was going to be within the next 3 years because, you know, as well as they played the past 2 years, they had some whole. I don't understand. It's confusing because we knew they lost a lot on their defense. They got Yannick, right? Yannick,
yes. That's right.
I'm going to call him Yannick. I don't care. They got Yannick. And they thought that was going to fill some holes, but they had that young secondary. I don't know. I thought their offense was going to be a lot better, maybe just because Dalvin's been injured. And
he's only missed
one,
but I mean, statistically, their offense has been pretty good, but they're turning the ball over too much. Offensive line kind of. Dalvin Cook leads all running backs in rushing touchdowns, and Adam Thielen leads all receivers in receiving touchdowns, but we're 1-5. It's pretty wild.
And then Justin Jefferson leads all the Bears receivers in yards.
Correct.
I was looking at that today. Crazy. Crazy. I don't understand it.
Yeah. I'm just curious to see what I think they're going to end up with a pretty good pick. Bad season, good pick. So, bad record. I'm just curious to see what if it's the same front office, same coaching staff, what they would do.
Do you think they'll trade anybody else? I mean, not like a big name. They're not going to trade Dalvin. Nobody's going to take Cousins' contract. But do you think they'll trade any
well,
other pieces?
Let me
Anthony
talk about
Harris?
Cousins for a second. I see a lot of
let's
people.
Talk about Cousins for a second.
Yeah, let's talk about him for a second. I think there's a lot of people saying, yeah, trade Cousins, do this, do that, and it's just not that. It's just not going to happen. It's not that simple. It's for two reasons. You mentioned no one's going to trade for Cousins. That would be correct. It's a big cap hit. We're here in the middle of the season. Nobody's trading for a starting quarterback with that much of a cap hit in the middle of the season. But another thing, the Vikings actually lose money if they trade him. They take more of a cap hit. Cousins on the Vikings versus Cousins not on the Vikings. The Cousins not on the Vikings, they have less cap space. So it's just not something that's going to happen, like, ever.
Yeah, I don't see them. I don't think Cousins is awful. I think he's having a rough year. I think they definitely need offensive line help, but
they need offensive line help.
Freaks out about the contract that he got, but I don't think that's deserving, because we know every single year somebody's going to get paid. We're all going to pretend it's overpaid, and then 6 months later somebody else is going to get, like, the norm is going to come down. Like, how long was he, like, one of the highest paid quarterbacks?
Or
was he never, like, the highest paid? Was he just, like, around it?
I mean, not that long. In terms of total value,
yeah.
It wasn't that long. But
so, like, the contract's fine. You got a, you know, quality quarterback that brought you that, unless you'd rather have Keenum in there. Should we bring Keenum back?
Yeah. At this point, I mean, you'd rather have the extra cap space, obviously. But, yeah, I think just extending him was a mistake. They did it to clear space, like, now. It's pretty funny. They did it so they can pay Michael Pierce to be their big free agency signing, and Michael Pierce opted out. So that worked out pretty well.
That's shit.
So, yeah, now they got Cousins for – next year's going to be his last year. He's technically under contract for another year after that, but they're able to cut him and save money. So next year will be the last year.
What if he just goes off next year?
Then it'll be a negative thing, because then they'll.
I would say if
he
goes off, he has to win at least one playoff game in order to stay.
Well, he won last a playoff game last year, and that's what made him extend him.
Yeah. What does Old Yeller got to say about this? You don't have to tell him who your Old Yeller is, but I want to know what Old Yeller's thinking.
He's not happy. It's a disastrous season.
Any specific quotes out of him?
Yeah, probably some words I can't say.
Like fuck. And
no,
shit.
No, we can say that in the podcast. Some offensive words, probably. We're gonna leave it alone. And yeah, he's anti Cousins. We know that. And yeah, it's a disaster.
What about Mrs. Yeller? What's she got to say?
Absolutely nothing.
Never know.
Yeah, but I mean, we're gonna see if they try to trade. I mean, because they traded Ngakoue, because what I'm getting at is they traded him because they were not going to extend him, and you might as well get something out of nothing. Well, that applies to a guy like Anthony Harris as well, who's a really good free safety. He's going to be a free agent, and there's more than a 0% chance that they'll be able to sign him and get him back, but I just think it's highly unlikely that he'll be back because of money. And even if they can clear that money, which is very doable, I don't see them using it on a free safety. Like their one signing. So, you know, if they don't trade him, if they try and they can't do it, then that's understandable. But if they don't even try to trade him, then it's going to be even more confusing, because you kind of applied for Ngakoue, but not other guys that you could have got something for. If they lose Anthony Harris in free agency, they're probably going to get a third round compensatory pick for him. So they would need at least a third round pick in return.
Has he been playing pretty solid this year? I'll be honest, I have yet to, like,
I mean, he's been,
see much of Vikings games.
He's been solid. I mean, he's been he was definitely better last year. It's just I mean, the corners, so we got rookie corners out there, they're playing pretty bad. It's pretty much Harrison Smith and Anthony Harris trying to cover the whole, I mean, they got 50% of the field each, so, and I think they're doing a fairly solid job. I mean, going back to the end of the Seahawks game, when the Seahawks scored on that fourth and goal, DK was and if you remember, there was great coverage by Anthony Harris on that play, and DK made a diving catch. I mean, it was fantastic coverage. And then, like, live, I'm like, all right, that's smart. They, you know, they probably put Anthony Harris man on DK, but no, if you watch it back, the corner was Cameron Dantzler was man on DK, and Anthony Harris was that tight on coverage of him, and when it wasn't even his guy. So I think some teams would benefit from having Anthony Harris. I think I don't know if they trade for him, though. I don't know if the teams are going to be like, yes, we need to trade this pick right now for this for the free safety. I think teams may look at it as, let's just wait to free agency, and we'll get him in free agency next year. But that's just me. So I think they'll try to trade him. They better try to trade him, but I don't think they succeed there.
Let's move over to the Tennessee Titans. Pete, big game this week. I want to break down what's going to do it to put the Titans over the Steelers. What do you got?
A huge breakdown.
I need a huge breakdown.
I don't got a huge breakdown for you. I mean, offense has been rolling. It's going to be a big test for them against the Steelers defense. But something interesting I saw posted on Twitter. You always see, like, I mean, the Titans' success is based on what, pretty much? Based on, I mean, their ability to run the ball and then use the play action. But Arthur Smith has been, I mean, he's just, I mean, more I watch, like, his, like, the film and watch plays of how the offense is run, like, the more I just believe, like, this guy is a genius, because he's now he's basically, instead of using the run to set up play action and throw the ball, he's doing the opposite. He's sending tight ends out into the flat, faking like it's a play action boot, when really they just give the ball to Henry, and then everyone just flows out to cover that tight end and just opens up holes for Henry to run. So it's just like pretty crazy to watch. It's kind of hard to stop, and that's kind of like what I was talking about last week, is like, I mean, you can stack the box all you want, but as soon as you start committing to the run, then they're going to hit you with that play-action pass. And now it's the opposite. If you start studying the film and see these play-action pass, and, like, look at, and you're keying off tight ends, and, like, when they kind of just release out of basically a block and release into the flat, you start playing off that, then it's just going to open up holes and open up the box for the run game. So it's kind of hard to stop. But I mean, I think the key really is going to be defensively, if the Titans can step it up, and because they've just been getting gashed all over the place. So Adoree Jackson's back practicing this week, but he's designation to return list. So he doesn't count towards the 53, but they could decide to, like, bring him back this week. He's been practicing, but I just don't know if he's ready. But he would be huge to pick up. I know it's just one guy, but, like, it's not gonna make their defense all of a sudden just great, but definitely would help, because corners are struggling, and looks like the safeties are even struggling, trying to pick up, kind of like the Viking situation. The safeties are kind of struggling to pick up the slack from the corners. But a lot of the guys are, I feel like a lot of the defensive guys are just, like, not playing up to how good they've shown they've been. I think Jeffrey Simmons is by far the best defensive player on the team, and, like, if you would have said that before the season, like, that you wouldn't even think Jeffrey Simmons. You'd probably think he's, like, top five, but probably not even top three. So it's kind of like a good thing that he's breaking out, but it's a bad thing that some of these other star players they have on defense are not really showing out this year.
What do you think what is your confidence rating that the Titans will be winning this game? If you had to put a bet on it, you'd be kind of iffy, like, I don't want to touch it, or are you confident?
I'm always iffy. I mean, the line, I'm always iffy with them. I really can't believe that they're 5-0. I mean, they had a favorable schedule so far. They had the Bills to play, but I don't know, just the way they've had, out of their five games, they've had to go down and they had four game-winning drives. So, like, it's not even like they were, none of their games were really blowouts, except for the Bills game, who was the toughest opponent they played. That kind of gives me a little confidence, though, is because Titans usually play better against better competition. They play down to the bad team. So
sounds like a Bears problem to me.
It's gonna be interesting. I mean, that's what I mean, though. They had four game-winning drives against who? The Broncos, the Texans, the Jags, the Vikings, and then their one game they didn't have to go down and win it last second. They killed the team was the Bills, who are the top of their division. So it's just so how.
Vague, Go ahead, Pete. Go finish
ahead.
Up.
Go ahead. I was just saying that's just how the Titans are.
I was just saying that the Vegas has Tennessee as a -1 favorite. So I was actually kind of shocked by that. How did we break down in our pick'em? So I know I took the Steelers.
As did I.
What about Riz? What did Riz take?
Titans. We had 3 for the Titans, 2 for the Steelers, I believe.
So I think in my defense, the reason why I took the Steelers is, like, I understand Titans are at home, so there's a small edge on that. But for the Steelers' sake, you have – between the Steelers' offense and the Titans' offense, I would say it's pretty close. But then you have the Steelers' defense, which is dominant, and the Titans obviously have some injuries that they're working mm-hmm. through. So I that's where I was giving the edge to the Steelers on that.
Yeah, I mean, I
took the Steelers because Pete took the Rams.
That game came after.
I saw your notes, Pete. I did some.
Would you say that this is a game that Daquan Jones definitely needs to step up in, or what?
Well, he's picking up Daquan Jones. He definitely needs to step up. I feel like Jeffrey Simmons is doing a lot of the work interior wise, so he needs to step it up.
What's your tractor speedometer at?
Oh, it's high right now. It's at probably like 8.8.
When I was asking you for that 99-yard touchdown run the week before he had the 94-yard touchdown run when I needed it for my bet and they fucking blew it?
Whoa.
Yeah.
I just like how
national media after that game was just like, Derrick Henry, dark horse MVP, like, he's been carrying the team. Like, I don't know. I mean, he's having a good year, obviously, but, like, if you watch the games from earlier in the year, it's definitely Ryan Tannehill who's definitely, like, the leader. Like, I mean, I think he's just been playing the best on the whole team so far, so... I think Tannehill, and now some people are starting to get in that discussion, like Tannehill should be in the MVP discussion, I think.
And he's definitely
if you go look at like yards, like he's not even up there really that high in yards, but touchdowns, interceptions, he's got, I think, 13 touchdowns plus he's got 2 rushing, I think, and he's got only 2 interceptions on the year. His completion percentage is 70%. I think he's top 3 in pass rating and QBR. So,
what does Riz know about that yar, though?
I don't know.
The yar.
All right, I got to pass it along. Pete, thanks for keeping it short and simple there.
I was trying.
I got to follow up with my buddy Junior Miles. What's the Bears meter like? What are you thinking? Bears, Rams, Monday Night Football.
Let me tell you this.
Tell me, dude.
I understand the Bears are playing some ugly football right now. I get that. But much like the Titans, they're very disrespected. Like, it doesn't matter how you win. As long as you're winning, you should get some type of respect. Like, right now, they're the second seed in the NFC. They're just disrespected. I mean, I get that they're not controlling games. But the Panthers game, as close as it was on the scoreboard, I mean, I felt... at watching that game that we were in control pretty much the entire game.
Would you think this is a game where Kubiak and Mingo needs to step up or no?
I'm not a big Mingo guy, let me tell you.
What about a Barkevious Mingo?
I watch him on defense. He's very lazy. Very lazy.
Yeah, there was some of that in the beginning parts of the year, like watching Danny Trevathan and Roquan, like the first 2 games. Danny Trevathan, the first 3 games, it was pretty scary, but I think both of them have turned it around. IMO. But I think the biggest what are you gonna say?
What if Goff just lit up that defense? Like, what if he did?
Oh God, I could see. What it if too. That's the scary part?
I really hope he doesn't, because right now my Roquan meter is fully erect. So I'm hoping that does not happen.
What about that Bucks game where he's just missing tackles like crazy?
Roquan?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's gambling though. I'll take it.
He's
I'll
been gamble. Going to his knee. He was going to his knees first in that
I don't
game.
Know what he's doing.
Dropping down.
But what was I going to say? Oh, what if Trubisky comes in the game and him and Goff have a nice interception battle just like 2 years ago?
As long as it results in a win, we don't care.
I think they threw 4 picks each.
That was last year, Pete. We played them both last year and the year before. The year before was at Soldier Field when it was like super low scoring and the Rams did like nothing. But last year was the one in L.A. that they were just throwing pick after pick. And that was where, I believe, Nagy told Mitch to shut the F up. I believe he told him.
Good.
It was that game. That was the game. It was Bears-Rams in LA last year where he told him that.
Well, yeah, sometimes you do need to shut the fuck up. But anyways, for me, these are my players that I need to see step up this game in order for the Bears to win.
Here, wait. Let me go to my guy Dan Chi here with the Bears breakdown. What do you got, Dan Chi?
Oh, let's hear it. All right. Dan Chi here. I want to see other people other than Allen Robinson and Jimmy Graham catching a goddamn football.
Well,
I want
to
see Cole Kmet on the field at all times from the 20-yard line on our side to the 20-yard line on their side, and then Jimmy Graham going there. Maybe some third down conversions. I'm fine with Jimmy Graham being there, but I want to see the rookie get some balls. I want to see him get in space. I want to get some yak, some of that yar. You know what I'm saying, Riz?
That yar. But
other than that, I need to see some other wide receivers. We have some good talent on this roster. Anthony Miller's been disappointing. Darnell Mooney's been an absolute stud, but I still want to see some more receptions out of them. I want to see Wims out there. I don't want to see Demetrius Harris anymore. That guy can go suck a big fat one.
What about Riley Ridley?
Riley Ridley has yet to dress. Hopefully we just trade him and get some sort of seventh-round pick for him. Doubt it, but, I don't know what's going on with that. But I think if the offense plays – If the Bears, I think this is how it's going to go. Whoever scores first wins the game. I think that's how it's going to go. It's going to be a defensive battle the majority of the game. I think Riz was predicting a 7-3 ball game. I think that's probably a good score.
I went with 16-13 is what I went with.
Let's see what Vegas got to say.
A lot of field goals there.
Rams
minus six. I might take that bet.
Why I had the field goals is because I think both defenses could actually get a turnover or two, and that you could have good field position. But I still don't know if they get in the end zone really. So I'm thinking just field goals.
Yeah,
I'm surprised that the line on that game is what it is.
I'm not surprised the Rams are favored, but by six is more than I expected.
I kind of want to go down some of these NFL betting lines here and see what your guys' thoughts are. So I think, did the majority of us take the Lions to win? I think I took the Falcons.
Me and you took the Falcons.
So Falcons -2.5. I think the Falcons could come out hot in that game being at home.
I picked the Falcons to win by a whole 1 point.
Ooh.
I wouldn't be confident in the Falcons after.
Pete, as a known Falcons hater, I'm not going to take your opinion on that one, right, man?
All right. I mean, no.
I think the Falcons suck.
That's Junior over there. I said I could pick them once they get rid of Dan Quinn. They did, but I'm still not picking them because you always see those teams that fire their coach and then like the game after they come out and play great and then they kind of go back to how they were, so that's kind of how I'm feeling about this one here.
That is true. We won't talk about who they played and how they did it, but yeah, mm-hmm. that's a great point. That's a great point.
They beat the ass out of the Vikings, just in case anyone forgot.
they sure did, but I didn't say
they
that.
Sure did.
Browns Bengals -3, giving the edge to Cleveland in Cincinnati. It's technically a home game for both. I'm sure. Do they have fans in Ohio?
The Browns do. I can't keep track. I can't keep track of who has fans and who doesn't. Something I just can't keep track of.
I think the Browns take this.
We need a fan
easy.
Guy. Who's going to be our fan attendance guy?
We'll get Paulie.
We get what's his name? Pedro. What's the guy's name?
Sergio Dip.
Sergio Dip. That
good for guys, the there's a lot can of fans out here. Everybody's having the time of their life.
Back to you.
He'll cover all the Vance Joseph games.
So this is going to be the Teddy return game?
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on the Teddy return game?
Yeah.
That's what I think, too.
Wait, what are our thoughts on Tyrod was cleared today. Is he playing?
He's on the bench. Come on now.
You can't go back. You can't go back. I feel bad for Tyrod because this happened how many times to him?
Once you go Herbert, you can't go back.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is he done? Or is he going to be on somebody else's team for as a backup? How old is Tyrod? Is he in his 30s yet?
I believe so.
He's a quality backup. He's kind of like the Teddy Bridgewater for me, where I kind of want to see him like get more starts. I don't think he's going to be a Super Bowl quarterback, but I definitely think he'd be a quality quarterback, bridge quarterback. But I just feel bad every time he gets on a team. You're like, I'll be up to – he's our starter. And then he gets hurt and the rookie starts
bamboozled.
Over. You just hate to see it. You just hate to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Broncos, Chiefs. Can Broncos do it? Anyone? Somebody say yes.
No.
No.
No, the Broncos, but I mean, Broncos fans are confident.
If Drew Lock doesn't throw those, if you take those two picks away, then like he had a good game.
I'm sure Fangio's watched the Chiefs games past couple weeks, and he's got something lined up. I think, what's the over-under on this one? I want to see what that is.
What do we got? 40-something, 46, 47, 48.
How about that, what's that guy's 46. Name? 46. That corner they got over there in Denver?
Michael O.J. Moody.
Yeah, that guy's just playing, he's playing some good ball over there.
Lights out ball?
Yeah.
Yeah, 46. I don't know if I would touch that one.
I don't want to go too under. Fangio gave him his parking spot for the week after that game.
Did he?
Yeah, that's the truth.
What a nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
Big Fangio. What else we got?
What's the Cowboys deal? What's the Cowboys deal? There was like some locker room stuff going on.
Yeah, somebody punched somebody, and then the other person punched him back. No, I'm kidding. I have no idea.
No, there was some beef with.
No, same.
I think their coaches suck.
They do suck.
Right, but like when the player, I mean, kind of concerned that I picked them this week.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about that one.
Red Rocket's going to come out. He's fine.
That game was, that was the last one I picked. That was something. Kind of just flipped a coin on that one.
Did you really flip a coin, Pete?
Yeah.
You did not. You don't got coins at his disposal.
He's got a nap.
Got an app to flip a coin.
Flip a coin app.
It probably is a flip a coin app.
Probably is. What if football games just like started using that, like in the future? They just didn't bring a coin out there. They just brought the phone out there. Like,
that's how they're gonna cheat in the future.
They do it on the Jumbotron. It's on the Jumbotron. That'd be nice. I'm in. I'm so in on that, Pete.
You could just rig that shit.
100%. That's why it shouldn't be that.
No.
But you could also have a two-sided coin.
Yeah, but they show them both
sides.
I think
someone would notice.
Yeah, they show them both sides.
My dad's got a two-sided coin. Dad's got a two-sided coin.
Yeah, but your dad's an Italian gangster. He's got the master troll and the pepperoni, you know?
Yeah, it might just be a piece of pepperoni. It might not actually be a coin.
Oh, some pepperoni.
What else we got? What else we got for this week of NFL football? Anyone want to talk about the Ant? Give me the breakdown.
Wait. I want to hear Pete's thought process on taking the Niners. First of all, before we go baseball, Pete, explain to me this Niners pick, Pete.
I'm really excited about that game. I feel like that's gonna be a good game. It's gonna be interesting to see, like. I mean, the Patriots just looked disappointing last week. Like they just did not look good. And the Niners, 2 weeks ago, they looked terrible. And then all of a sudden, they come back and they're like their
own
self.
That's how they get you.
I know, but you just don't know. You just don't know. You don't know what Niners is going to show up. I mean, hopefully Shanahan's got them going. They don't have Mostert. I know that, but it looked like Debo was finally 100%, and like he played a lot more snaps. So hopefully he's full go, and I think they'll. They'll be dangerous. They could be. I mean, Kittle was banged up too. He looks like he's full go now too. Hopefully, Jimmy just needed to shake some rust out, and that's what I'm down a lot, so I'm banking on. I'm glad I'm the only one picking the Niners. I hope they pull
through.
They
could definitely
do it.
But
yeah,
I could have persuaded you if you were there at Pick'ems. I just want you to know that.
Why are you guys so high? Why are you guys so high on the Patriots?
Good match.
Because the Patriots. Now let me break this down.
The Patriots have
lost two in a row. The Patriots don't lose three in a row. That's enough. That's enough. They don't.
Also,
they don't lose three in a row.
I mean, the Niners have been struggling all year. I need to see more. I know they're banged up. But I need to see more before I can start picking them in these kind of games that are going to be better matchups. It's going to be a good game. If they play like last week, it's going to be a good game. But that's the part that's the big what if for me.
Wow, Cam last week looked like last year's Cam when he was hurt.
Yeah, he looked like doggy.
He was missing so many throws, like just throwing the ball on the ground, like short. Don't know what's going on. I'm not trusting that over there.
Hey, maybe Ryan Pace knew something. He knew something. He knew something, guys.
What do you think Heinz Schwartz is up to right now?
Probably just like chilling at the field.
Probably outside the stadium waiting.
Oh, he's in the stadium, Pete.
No, he's probably outside, though.
Oh, he lives in the stadium.
Who wins this trade for fantasy? David Johnson and Julio Jones for Josh Jacobs and Cooper Kupp.
Ooh. I'm going to say that Josh Jacobs and Cooper Kupp win the deal.
Yes.
Because Julio is too inconsistent and he's banged up.
David Johnson.
I don't think David Johnson's consistent. He's just been
David Johnson's not even, I don't know. He hasn't put up a lot of points, really. He's just kind of consistent. Consistent, like 12 points, 14 points.
Easy.
All right, good. Somebody asked me on Twitter. I didn't know what the answer, so you guys decided.
All right, so if you're listening, Mr. Twitter guy.
I replied on Twitter.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
You tell him to say frig off. We're in a podcast right now.
Yeah, let him know.
All right, can I hear Ant's breakdown of these Tampa Bay Rays?
What do you want to know about them? What do you want to know about them?
All I know is I got $50 in the Dodgers to take it all.
Junior. Yeah, who's Ant?
Junior.
Well, okay, let me tell you something. You're a snake for taking the Dodgers. You know I'm a Rays fan, first of all.
I put money on the Dodgers first game, didn't you?
No, I said that I'm taking the Dodgers because it's a conflict of interest, because I can't just do that because it's bad juju. You know, I can't do that.
Well, why the hell are you picking the Bears every week?
That's just as a Bears fan, I got to do that. It's not the playoffs, you know?
So in the playoffs, you're taking.
And I don't make MLB season predictions. MLB, I don't make season. I'm making season predictions before the season, which is my realistic Bears prediction. I'm going to take the Bears every week. I don't do this for the MLB. But yeah, you know, so I'm excited.
Go on about your Rays. I'm going to go take a bath and break. I don't need to hear any of this.
Okay. What do you want to know about them, Dan? Let me hear it.
What's the matchup? Are they going to win tomorrow, or what's going on?
I mean, they got Charlie Morton dealing tomorrow, and I'm feeling it. I'm feeling it. He's been pretty nice this playoffs. I don't know what Glasnow is doing. I mean, he's had a history of tipping pitches, so I kind of wonder if that's kind of what he was doing.
Is Glasnow not Glasnow. Who's the redhead that throws the most disgusting two-seam I've ever seen in my life?
The Dodgers brought in?
Yeah.
I don't even know his name. He came in yesterday and got teed off.
He did get teed off, but he's got some sick movement.
Yeah, they came
up
yesterday.
Him in the previous series, and he was dominant in the previous
series.
He is good.
But
you guys are facing Walker Buehler.
Not concerned.
Not concerned.
Morton's a beast. Morton's a beast. They finally got Lau going, and I'm pretty excited for that. He was slumping.
Morton's not looking too good in these playoffs, though.
No, Morton's been dealing. The bats, I'm more concerned. When it comes to the Rays, their defense is good. Their pitching is good. Their relief pitching is next to none. Their hitting is so inconsistent, it is unreal. So if they can get that going, which they kind of had going last game.
No, they didn't.
Yeah, they did. They were really teeing them up. I am excited. I'm very nervous. It doesn't help that I'm watching these games with my dad, who he has the worst commentary known to man. So, you know, but we're excited.
What's that Asian fellow's name? I like that guy.
G-Man Choi. He's a beast.
Yeah, big G-Man Choi guy.
Oh, G-Man, even better than Hisop. He's been, like, on so many teams, and he just found his home.
Breaking news, Alshon Jeffrey is available for a trade. The Bears are the front runners to get him.
That's a lie.
No, but Alshon Jeffrey's available for trade. But it's all accurate because every time someone's available, he's going, it's either the Bears or the Eagles, and the Eagles are the team trading them, and now the Bears have to be the other team.
And I mean,
that's true. They do trade.
But if he gets caught, look out for the Patriots, because that's how it goes. That's normally how football news goes. Somebody that was good at one point, they're kind of, you know, we don't know what they have left in the tank. They get cut. Uh-oh, Patriots are in the mix. They can do it.
Teams have called the Vikings about tight end Kyle Rudolph.
Why?
Need a red zone target. He's one of the better red zone tight ends in footby.
Where would he go? Some teams need a tight end.
It would be a contender. Patriots, well, they're not a Super Bowl contender, but they think they can contend. Probably Patriots, Colts, maybe. Colts got Doyle and Burton, but they... Patriots are the team I'm just stuck on here.
It's been settled. It's a Goathouse guarantee.
Is it a guarantee? Bears, maybe?
Yeah, don't disrespect Jimmy.
I'm kidding.
Disrespected.
Golden Tate and Kevin Zeitler might be on the move.
Oh. Pick, bro.
Golden Tate, where would he go? Packers? Gold for Golden? Maybe Patriots?
Patriots?
You always got to throw the Patriots in there.
Everyone is the Patriots.
Anytime someone's available, Twitter says Bears or Eagles, but they never go to the Bears or Eagles. They end up going to the Patriots or the Patriots.
Or the Ravens.
Or the Ravens.
Or the Chiefs. That's not nice.
Take that, Chiefs.
Yeah, the Chiefs are just going to keep just getting – they're probably going to get Elshon and Golden Tate.
Who were you guys players of the week for last week? Did we even discuss this?
We did. I call first.
All right, go ahead.
Offensive, Peter Cito, easy.
Peter Cito.
Defensive, Buda Baker, easy. Okay, Derrick Henry, offensive. And then Buda Baker, defensive. He's an animal. He's an absolute animal. Special team, Cairo Santos.
Gotta respect it.
We don't respect special teamers here at the House, okay?
We do not respect special teams. Wow.
Anybody else? What has everybody else got?
I have the same exact two. Derrick Henry and Buda Baker.
What about Dan? What's Dan got?
I'm trying to find somebody that's out of the box here.
You're always change my
offense. I'm going to change my offensive to Russell Wilson, even though he was off. Just for Pete.
What?
Derrick Henry had 264 yards.
I'm kidding, Pete. I'm kidding.
Well, you got to go with Derrick Henry. Unless you're going with Matt Ryan.
Yeah.
Wait, Mar, Ryan Tannehill. After we finish these, Mar, we got to tell you what Pete's new duty is for the end of Pick'ems. But we will finish these first.
So NFL.com had a poll. Who was the FedEx Ground Player of Week 6? DeAndre Swift beat Derrick Henry.
No, he didn't.
No, he did. Oh, I'm just kidding. No, he didn't. Just kidding. I thought it said 7.4%.
Air Player of the Week, Ryan Tannehill. Ground Player of the Week, Derrick Henry. That's actually facts right there.
Facts with an X.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's
Dan,
all I got.
Dan, did you say anything? Who's your defense?
We'll go with Buda Baker.
Buda.
What was your offensive?
Trecker Cito.
So we're all going Derrick Henry Buda? I guess so.
That's a Goathouse guarantee.
There's a couple Bucks players that I was really thinking about. You know, Lavonte David, Devin White, Jamel Dean. They're all definitely in consideration there, but probably got to go Buda.
Right.
I'll go Jalen Johnson for the tipped ball that created an interception.
So we established this before you got in here. Now that Pete's players of the bye week is taken over by Dan, Pete's been banished from that. So now Pete is going to select his favorite stadium out of the grouping.
Yeah. So Pete,
we're big. He's a big stadium guy.
Okay.
Huge stadium guy.
Okay.
He has visited all 32. So
all 30.
Even
I mean,
though there isn't 32, there isn't even 32. Because the Giants and the Jets share the stadium.
But he's been to all 32.
And the Chargers and the Rams. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
He's been to all 32, ladies and gentlemen. All 32.
All 32. He's been there. Pete, did we select the man for the job or what? Come on. Love it, Pete. Pete's on. He's on board. He just doesn't know it yet.
We got a game tonight, Giants and Eagles. I got two Eagles in my fantasy lineup. Not ideal, but it's going down. Carson Wentz and Travis Fulgham. How many fantasy points am I going to get with those two combined? Go.
Probably like 2.6.
Combined?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm just saying, it's going to be a toilet bowl game tonight.
I think Carson could get some stuff going. I'm kind of banking on that. I could have went the easy choice when because I had Dak and then I picked up Fitzpatrick. He got benched. He had a bye anyways. Easy choice could have been Stafford against the Falcons, but I went a little bold. I went Carson Wentz.
Trade Tua right now. I picked him up.
No, I could have picked him up. I went with Carson Wentz instead. Carson Wentz has been getting pretty solid points, actually.
Yeah, as soon as I dropped his ass.
Travis Fulgham needs to get a touchdown. I think he will.
He does.
Somebody put $1,000 on the Giants to win the Super Bowl. Pays out $300,000. What a bet.
What a bet
is right.
You just threw $1,000 away.
Just $1,000.
That's just how.
Just threw that away.
That's how, like, casinos and, like, all these betting sites are just making so much money is to those people.
Yeah, but did you see the odds? I'd be stupid not to play those odds.
All those odds that it's not going to happen. Like, for the. For Super Bowl, like that. And they do it for, like, the draft, too. Like, everyone knows that Trevor Lawrence is going to be the first pick, but all these idiots will put money on some other guy that has just better odds just because they have a little better odds.
You could have Odo picking first and taking Patrick Mahomes first overall instead of Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, I placed a bet on that. Who Odo will take in the fantasy football draft. Nobody knows what the hell we're talking about right now.
That's all right.
But we do.
That's all that matters.
I got nothing else. I was in charge of the podcast from the beginning, and I've folded the cards away.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm looking forward to this game tonight at all.
It's football, though.
Just don't watch the game, Pete. Just watch the stadium around the game.
Yeah, you're a stadium guy now.
Yeah, I'm checking out the stadium. Where's it at? I don't even know where it's at.
It's at the Link.
Oh, that's one of Pete's favorites. That's one of Pete's favorites. He likes to Crisco himself up and go to the Link all the time.
What Link is better, Pete? Lincoln Financial or Century Link? It's in Seattle.
Oh, Century Link all day.
You know, Lincoln Financial, they got a bunch of those, what are they called? It's like those solar, what the hell is that called? It's like solar panel. All over the top of it. They get a lot of their energy from that. I don't know if you guys knew this. I mean, I'm the stadium guy, so.
Pete, thank you for that insight, Pete.
Give us a fun fact about.
You got to go with CenturyLink, though, the 12th man over there. That oval shaped stadium you got over there. Very unique.
And
very
the Seattle
loud.
Sounders play there. I believe.
Oh, Pete, I expect you to do a lot of research about this.
Give us a fun fact about Nissan Stadium.
Fun fact.
Yeah, the first thing that comes to your mind when you think Nissan Stadium, what's the first thing that comes to your mind?
I think that's – I'm not 100 on this. I think that's the third name for it.
That was impressive, Pete.
It hasn't been there for long. It's only been there for, 20 years? It's already got three names.
Wow. The first one was Dan Chee Stadium, right?
It was right. No, it was the Coliseum. And then they switched it to LP Field, and now it's Nissan Stadium.
Here's a little news tip, Pete. Here's a little news tip. I know me and Riz do the news. Never say I'm not too sure about this. You double down and say I'm 100% certain.
I'm pretty certain, Donna.
No. I'm trying to teach you. You say I'm 100% certain.
They called it the Coliseum at first when they first built it. Then it switched to LP Field, and now it's Nissan Stadium. So three names. It's only been there for 21 years.
It actually was the Adelphia Coliseum, and then they changed it to the Coliseum.
God, Dan's taking over for favorite players of the week and the stadium of the week.
We got to find someone else for Pete.
Here's a fun fact for you.
They would just call it the Coliseum.
Nissan Stadium holds 69,000 people. Suck it.
Nice.
Facts. And I'm 100% confident in that.
What's the first thing that comes to mind when you hear the Metrodome?
My Metrodome, dude. Is that rapper that says that? You guys wouldn't know better than that.
Okay.
Dan, that was fantastic, Dan.
Thanks, man. That's how you double down.
Yeah,
that's how you double down.
Wow. That was incredible.
Thanks, man.
Wow.
Tom, wow.
Wrap it up.
Yep. That's everything.
That's everything for Week 7 podcast. We're back every single week, and we got plenty of action on the YouTube channel, the Twitter, search the Goat House. You know the drill. That's going to do it. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Interior opted out with Michael Pierce, but I'd say, even though their offense has been pretty good, I'd say they get pretty predictable on offense with their play calling. That kind of drives me nuts, where I can sit there and be like, all right, and just guess every single play. Like, I can sit there before the snap, and I think I did a lot more last year because I haven't seen every single snap yet live, but just sit there and be like, I just know exactly what they're going to do just because it's so obvious. So that's probably my least favorite thing. Or the offensive line, but I know that's kind of a cheap answer, so I don't know.
I don't know, really. I mean,
it's just Rona.
Yeah, and I think
you need two answers.
I feel
like it's the one thing that just as a Titans fan you have to deal with every single year.
It
just does not seem.
Well, usually it's like slow starts, and this is we talked about. It's the first time they're 3-0 since 2008. I mean, they went 9-7 4 years in a row, so like just being. Like a good team, but not great. Another thing I was gonna say, but like I feel like a lot of fans feel like this about their team. Like the offense and defense are never in sync. Like the defense will be playing out of their mind, and the offense is gonna just blow it, or the offense is gonna play out of their mind and like just put up a bunch of points, but the defense can't stop anybody.
I feel like the Vikings were like that for a long time, but
I feel like the Titans are like that all of a sudden.
Now it's just either neither are on or just the offense is on.
Well, imagine being a Bears fan and never having an offense ever, and just only having a defense.
It's quarterback.
And then your offense is playing so bad it makes your defense look bad. Yeah.
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 All right. Yeah. I think that wraps it up, this week's podcast. Hopefully you guys enjoyed. We're back every Wednesday.
What's Junior going to say?
Junior's not here. Junior's definitely not here. So, I got to go to the bathroom really bad, so we're wrapping it up, and that's going to do it. Thanks for listening. Goodbye. Probably AJ Brown, if that's the case. I don't know if that really answered the question. What do you guys think?
That's a tough one. I want to go Galladay.
You're feeling Galladay if he plays?
Feeling Galladay, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I'm biased.
The hat's on.
Hat is on.
If you think Kenny Galladay is 100% hamstring won't bother him, then you go Kenny Galladay. I would be a little worried, though.
Go out to the field and go test his hamstring for him.
I'd go A.J. Brown. I'm going to say A.J. Brown. I worry about the hamstring. The Jags corners played pretty well in week one. I don't think they played that well in week two. I think AJ Brown, and the Titans kind of showed some Corey Davis action there.
That's what I'm saying. It's just like they switched roles, and then all of a sudden, like this week, the Jags be like, all right, well, we got to stop Derrick Henry, and then we got to watch for that play action crosser to Corey Davis, and also AJ Brown's gonna be running the crosser again, and it's just a disaster.
Peyton Barber or Chase Edmonds? It's a rough position to be in, I think.
That's pretty rough. My God.
They're playing each other.
Ooh. I mean, Washington's defense is very good. I mean, I think, I don't know. Kenny Drake. I don't know. How many carries did Edmonds get? I know he scored.
Oh, yeah, he did get in the end zone. That's right. Let's see.
He did score.
Didn't Peyton Barber score, too?
Peyton Barber scored twice, but he had a terrible average. He had, like, I don't even know. I can look it up.
Six carries, and he had 5 targets, 3 receptions. And then
Peyton Barber had 17 carries for 29 yards and 2 touchdowns.
I would go Edmonds because they really got Edmonds. He got 5 targets. He got 3 receptions, but he got 5 targets, so they're trying to get involved in the passing game. And I think they're going to eat the Washington team over there. I think they're going to ease their way into Antonio Gibson a little more, especially given that he had a way better average, we'll say. He had more yards off half the carries, so I'd say Chase Edmonds would be my pick there. But a very tough situation to be in there.
Yeah,
it is really tough. I don't know.
You just don't know what they're going to – they don't know. You don't know if they're going to put Gibson in more. Maybe he just doesn't have a grasp on the full playbook yet. Because Peyton Barber, I mean, didn't run very well, but he still had a lot of carries, and he got two touchdowns.
Yeah, that was the last question there. I think that went on for quite a long time there. We had a lot of questions, but enjoy answering those. Here, I got one for you guys here. I got George Kittle that might be limited. I think he's going to play, but he might be limited. But I have T.J. Hockenson as well. I'm almost thinking T.J. Hockenson.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You think so?
Yep. Yes.
But I'm like, how do I – you know, I drafted Kittle in the third round. How do I put him on the bench?
Start them
if
both.
He's playing. Start them both?
Yeah, start them both.
I almost wish I – yeah, because I went a little receiver heavy, but then I also got both those tight ends. So I almost wish I didn't go so crazy with the receivers and just help myself at running back a little more because I had, you know, I almost got, yeah, because I got the extra tight end basically. So maybe that's something I'm regretting a little bit, but I like my team. I like my team. But yeah, I think that's going to wrap this up here. I wanted to make this, that fantasy stardom sit-em section segment as a kind of a video as well, but I had some camera issues during this podcast for some reason. So, in the future, we could expect some of those. It'll be pretty fun, but you get it either way. If you listen to the podcast, you're getting it. But we got full coverage on the NFL or on the YouTube channel, full NFL coverage on the YouTube channel, or full YouTube coverage on the NFL channel. That's what I was about to say. yeah, so check us out.
We're
covered
there. YouTube.
Search the Goat House pretty much anywhere. You'll find us. We got you covered. That's going to do it. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.
You bet.
Say bye.